Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Now back to the Nick Cale Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, hour number two of the Nick Cale Show here on a Saturday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the radio.com app. Congratulations, Washington Nationals picking up Kyle Schwarber. Congrats to the Mets on their acquisition a day or two ago. It's not going to matter. It's still the Braves' division to lose. We'll get to plenty of baseball coming up in the following shows in the next couple of weeks. But right now, knee-deep in football as we go out to the WadeFord.com hotline and welcome in our man Harry Douglas, former Falcons wide receiver and, of course, host right here on 92.9 The Game. Mr. Douglas, how are you?
What's good with you, Nick?
I'm good, man. You ready to bring that fire for like the next 8 to 10 minutes?
Hey, I was told if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready.
Exactly right. All right, so let's start on the GM and the head coaching search right now. It kind of feels like, you know, they're going through the process. Kind of a gut feeling tells me I think Rick Smith is going to be the guy to get the GM job, the former Texan GM. Head coaching search, obviously there's guys still in the playoffs. From a GM head coaching perspective, do you have a top target for each vacancy, and who are they?
I'll say one thing I can say about the general manager candidates is that this is a field that I don't think you can go wrong, right? It's just so many guys who have the credentials to become a GM and be a GM and have been a GM to the point to where you can take your pick of the litter and literally the organization will be okay. Now, when you look at head coaching wise, now I feel like from a head coaching standpoint that they need somebody in here that's going to bring that toughness from all three phases of the game. That's offensively, defensively, and special teams. And do it on a consistent basis. Speak it every day. Speak it into existence. Write it on the board so guys are seeing it every day, all the time. Just because when you look at especially the offensive side of the ball, I think that's one of the things that they lacked last year. It was a little too much finesse going on. And when push came to shove and you just needed the O-line to be tougher, the tight ends to be tougher, everybody just to be tougher, you didn't see that from the Falcons from an offensive standpoint. Now, the defense actually came on late when Raheem took over as a head coach and Coach Ubrich was the defensive coordinator. So we've seen the defense make so many strides to the point, but the defense was balling out, but the offense had lapses. And then you've seen the last game of the year, the offense found their rhythm and the defense figured out that, okay, this game, we're not going to make it work. So I just think all in all, they need a guy in there who was a leader of men, who is going to demand excellence, who's going to set the standard, who has the pedigree, and you have a ton of head coaching candidates that have the pedigree. You have Arthur Smith. You have Brian Dable. You have Eric Bieniemy. You have Robert Saleh. You have so many guys that can become head coaches that are doing so many great things at the programs, organizations that they are right now.
You know, it's interesting, and you mentioned Robert Saleh, and I brought him up last segment. He's a guy, if they don't go offense, if they don't go Bieniemy, Dable, or Smith, give me Robert Saleh over a Joe Brady, over a Nathaniel Hackett. And I watch a handful of these Niner games and have the Red Zone channel on, and I know that's not the most in-depth way to analyze a guy, but man, I watch him on the sideline. He is as intense as it gets. Like I think he could go out in the field and sack a quarterback right now. He's that kind of an imposing dude. If they go that avenue, do they need to then pair him with a young offensive mind? Like, is that a must?
Nick, I'll say this first, because you spoke about the energy of Robert Saleh. It's infectious. When players see guys like that, they feed off of that. I was that type of player, the Energizer Bunny. So when you have a coach like that, I had a coach like that, Sean Jefferson, who was a wide receiver coach for the Jets the last few years. But he was like that. He coached Calvin Johnson for a long time in Detroit. And you feed off that energy because every day, it's no secret, right? People just think every day you go to the complex that you just want to be there. It's not like that. It's just like work because you're doing the same thing over and over again. So you need that motivating factor on some days. You need that guy who has that higher energy. You need that guy who's going to push you in the back and tell you it's going to be okay, you can get through it. And just watching him on the sideline, and especially in San Fran, they had so many injuries this year, especially on the defensive side of the ball as well. And they still was in contention to make the playoffs late in the year. So a guy like that, listen, he's high in my book, and I know players respect him 100%.
Harry Douglas, former Falcons wide receiver.
But host I got to answer your other question, Nick.
Okay.
So, yes, I do feel like a young offensive coordinator needs to come up. And not necessarily have to be young, though. Just a guy who's an innovator, who can create things, who can get this offense afloat. Because coming into the year for just about every starter to be a first-rounder, myself, the fans, the entire NFL had high hopes for the Atlanta Falcons offense. And to see them not put in and week out like that with the firepower that they actually do have on offense, and to see these other teams who have these young innovators as their coach perform week in and week out, it leaves a question in your head, should we go young? But I think the right guy is more the fit for it in Atlanta.
No question about it. Harry Douglas joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. So it's mock draft season. Todd McShay puts out his first mock. He's got the Falcons going Zach Wilson, the quarterback from BYU, at number 4. Justin Fields falls to 15, which I can't see happening. And oh, by the way, at 15, the New England Patriots are sitting there. So if you can imagine Bill Belichick with Justin Fields, I mean, it makes me want to throw up. Like, okay, here comes another 15-year dynasty. But I like Zach Wilson a lot, but I don't know how this franchise passes on Justin Fields at 4. I think what you saw against Clemson was a man on a mission, and we see these young quarterbacks in the NFL nowadays. The learning curve is not as steep as it used to be. Athleticism is paramount. I mean, Harry, I'll tell you right now, I think if the Falcons pass on Justin Fields, they'll regret it for 15 years.
Well, I'll say this. If they do not trade back with the 4th pick and get more draft picks, if Justin Fields is there at number 4, in my eyes, you have to take him over Zach Wilson, because when you do look at the competition factor, right, Justin Fields plays in the Big Ten. You see teams throughout the last few years in the Big Ten that's in the top 15 rankings, college football rankings, year in and year out. And you see him go up against these guys and perform. You see what he just did to Clemson and Trevor Lawrence. He went up against a guy who's probably going to be the first pick in the draft this year, and played, I think, the best game he's actually played in his college career.
Yeah.
So I just don't see how you can pass on Justin Fields. And I played there in Atlanta, and I grew up in Atlanta. Justin Fields is from Atlanta. You know what I mean? So I don't think you can pass up on a hometown guy who's played at a major university and has performed at the level he's performed at. And he has an opportunity to win a national championship. Now, especially if he goes out on Monday and finish everything off with a bang, even if they don't win the game, if he has a good game, I just don't see how any team, not just the Falcons, I don't see how any team can pick Zach Wilson ahead of Justin Fields. I don't see that.
Speaking of quarterbacks playing at absurdly high levels, this could be the end of an era for Drew Brees, Philip Rivers, Brady, Roethlisberger, all of which are in action this weekend. Guys that you played with when you were active in the league. Are we looking at the end of the road for these guys and a changing of the guard from the elder statesman to, you know, really a new age of the position?
I'll say, but I think out of all of those guys, I think Drew Brees, number one, might be in his last year. And lucky enough, I'm thankful enough he gave me his game jersey when he broke a record against us one day. So I have his jersey hanging up in my basement sign. So if it is the last year for Drew Brees, I wish him nothing but success. But he's the model that young guys, you know, want to probably just do the things that he did, man. He's a pro's pro. He does the right thing. He puts the time in. You watch him when he's going through walkthroughs, right? You go through walkthroughs, and he's still going through his progression like he's in an actual game. That's how you become not good but become great. That's how you separate yourself from just being an average Joe in this league. And Drew Brees has been that model for so many guys. And I think right now, Jameis Winston, there's nobody that he can be playing behind right now than better than Drew Brees, so he can learn from and just learn how to be a pro's pro within this game. Phillip Rivers, I don't know. It depends on Phillip how he's feeling. But it might be the end of the road for him as well. Big Ben, I think Big Ben got some more time. I think Big Ben wants to go out with the bang. Now, if Big Ben makes it to a Super Bowl and win it, he might go out on a limb on that. But if he doesn't, I think Big Ben has another year or two left.
All right, final one for you. Harry Douglas is with us. I believe you and I did a show the day after Juju Smith-Schuster did his 50-yard line pregame TikTok dance, and then the Bengals lit him up on Monday Night Football. Now he's back in the news again, kind of downplaying and trash-talking the Browns, saying, yeah, they got a couple of talented dudes, but they're largely a roster full of nobodies. Has this guy not learned his lesson? Man, what's up with these wide receivers? Do they never figure it out? I feel like they just gave the Browns a little added juice.
See, Nick, see, let me give Juju a little bet lesson. See, I never talk junk on Twitter or to the media. Everything I had to say to you, I'm going to say to you on the football field. And, yep. And if you wanted to come see me after, then it was what it was. But I'm not going to say anything to the media. I'm not going to tweet anything. I'm not going to any of that. Whatever I got to say to you, I'm going to say to you on the field. How I feel about you as a man and as a player, that's exactly how I'm going to treat you on the football field. And I'm going to tell you that on the football field as well.
Harry Douglas never minces words, former Falcons wide receiver, and of course, all over Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Great stuff as always, man. Thank you for a couple of minutes on a Saturday, and Happy New Year, by the way.
Happy New Year, you too, Nick. Can't wait till we do a show again, bud.
All right, brother. Thank you. There he is, Harry Douglas, joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Always bringing that fire, or as he likes to say, just take off the RE. It's just fine. I can't do it, though. I don't want to do HD a disservice. Dylan, can you do it?
He always bring that five.
There you go.
That five.
I like it. All right, coming up next, let's take some Falcons calls if you want to jump in. 404-741-0929. If you have any thoughts or reaction to anything that you heard from Harry in this past segment or what we started with about 30 minutes ago, 404-741-0929. Ross Tucker had the call here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com Sports for the Bills and Colts that you just heard before this show started. But he was also on with Dukes and Bell earlier this week, and he made a statement that I flat out disagree with. You'll hear that, and then I'll tell you why I disagree coming up next here on The Nick Kale Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app.
You're listening to The Nick Kale Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, hopefully the Hawks can snap their three-game skid tonight as they run it back with the Charlotte Hornets. That, of course, pregame coverage coming up at 6:30 here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. DeShaun Tate, our Hawks and college basketball aficionado, will join us coming up in just about 40 minutes or so. But let's continue on Atlanta Falcons conversation. Very interesting because I was listening to Mike and Carl earlier this week, and they were talking about whether or not the Falcons can bounce back and be a playoff team in 2021. And I've always thought that's an interesting conversation when you have a bad season with, you know, whatever you think your team is, a bad team, a middle-of-the-road team, an unlucky team, whatever it might be, injury-riddled. And there's really arguments to be made on both sides because you can look at it from one standpoint of, in the NFL, we see quick turnarounds. You know, we see a couple of new teams make the playoffs each year that missed the playoffs the year before. But then you also have to assess your own team and say, all right, what are we? I tend to believe, like, there's the narrative out there that the Falcons are a good team that underachieves. There's certainly a choke element to this team, an anti-clutch factor. But I don't think the Falcons are an overly talented roster. I think there are 6 to 8 guys that I really like. But after that, I feel like this franchise needs a talent infusion. And they need to have one of those great drafts, kind of like the Saints had 3 years ago in 2017, to get this thing back on track. Because let's face it, this thing isn't going to change in free agency. We don't have cap space. So it's going to have to come with a new coach, a new vision, and then draft picks that immediately contribute. So earlier this week on Dukes and Bell, Mike and Carl had Ross Tucker on from Radio.com and NFL Network. And I think Ross has like 42 jobs. So if you need a job, Ross could probably get you some work. But he made an interesting comment, one of which I don't agree with. He thinks that Matt Ryan is still a top 15 guy, and this Falcons team can win 10 games next year. Take a listen.
I think they have a top 15 quarterback still. And if you have a top 15 quarterback, you can flip the switch and get 10 wins any offseason. So that's how I would answer that.
Okay.
Is it, as long as you've got that top 15, maybe even top 10 guy, you've got a chance to be able to flip it pretty quickly and get back to double-digit victories.
Okay, that was Ross Tucker. Now, a couple of things. Before we get to whether Matt's a top 15 guy in this league still, this was a Falcons team that won 4 games this year. They had 3 losses that mathematically they were almost a lock to win, and they found a way to defy odds and probability and lose. So even if they win those games, you know, whether you go back to the Dallas game, the Chicago game, the Seattle game, that stretch early in the year where, like in the fourth quarter with 6 minutes to go, they had a 98.7% chance to win, that only brings you to 7 or 8 wins. So I don't see 10 wins for this team just based off of that. And then that leads us to Matt Ryan. Now, I don't think Matt Ryan's a top 15 quarterback in this league anymore. I would say this. Using the eye test, it doesn't feel like he's in the top half of the league. So then I went to numbers. And look, I'm not a huge stats guy because there's a stat out there that can justify every argument you want to make. And sometimes stats can be misleading. So I look at Matt Ryan, quarterback rating 21st in the league at 93.3. Completion percentage 23rd in the league, 65%. 65% is pretty good. 65% used to be great. But with where we're at now in this league, there you have it. 65% is still 23rd in the NFL. He was 12th in touchdowns with 26. He had 11 interceptions, which was the 10th most in the NFL. Yards, he was 4th, 4,581, but let's factor in circumstance. I think yards can be misleading. If you're always losing and you're having to come from behind and you're in these nail biters, you would almost want to look at his attempts. Now, I am going to give him a little credit because he still got to almost 4,600 yards without Julio Jones. So let's be fair and say that is somewhat impressive when you lose an all-time great like Julio Jones. But when I'm looking at the league right now, I started rattling off the players. Where does Matt Ryan fit? Well, here's my undisputed top 5. Like, I don't think you can argue this. You can debate the order a little bit. But the top 5 quarterbacks in the NFL, in my opinion, are Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Russell Wilson, and Deshaun Watson. Those are my top 5. You want to argue Rodgers versus Mahomes, Allen versus Wilson, Allen versus Watson, be my guest. But those are my top 5. And then after that, you get a mix of all sorts of quarterbacks at different points in their career, different styles. You've got Lamar Jackson, the reigning MVP. You've got Tom Brady, who's the GOAT. He's 43, still playing well. You've got a guy like Ryan Tannehill, who has had an unbelievable resurrection in Tennessee. Drew Brees still hanging on. Justin Herbert, rookie of the year. Phillip Rivers still slinging it. Derek Carr, Cousins, Kyler Murray, Roethlisberger. And then I start to, like, that's 15 guys right there. So then I say, all right, well, where does Matt fit in? Matt's probably somewhere between 16 and 20, probably in the bottom half of the middle third of the league. I mean, we can debate Matt Ryan against Matt Stafford, Matt Ryan against a healthy Dak Prescott, Matt Ryan against Baker Mayfield, and on down the list. But I just don't think at this point that we can sit here and say Matt Ryan's still a top 15 guy, and being a top 15 guy, all of a sudden with one offseason, you can become a 10-win team. I think it would be, I don't want to say a miracle, but I think it would be an unbelievably pleasant surprise if one offseason goes by and next year on January 9th, 2022, we are talking about the Atlanta Falcons sitting at 10-6 and playing on wild card weekend. Like, I'll tell you right now, I think the odds are highly stacked against that happening. I wouldn't say it's impossible, but I don't think it's over. I mean, I don't think it's probable. Because if this offseason goes the way I think it should and the way I hope, you are using your fourth pick on Justin Fields. And if you're picking Justin Fields, the odds are Matt Ryan is still your quarterback for 1 to 2 more years. Now, I am not in the camp that thinks it's impossible that Matt Ryan can be traded. I know he's owed a lot of money. I know the dead cap number is what it is. Probably a 5% chance it happens that he gets traded. So if Matt comes back and Julio is back, and look, we have a mediocre at best offensive line. We don't have a running back. We've got issues with the pass rush. We've got issues on the back end of the secondary. No cap space and 6 draft picks. And your number one pick is a quarterback that probably doesn't see the field until the final month of the season if they are out of it from the playoffs or at all. You know, barring injury or barring Matt Ryan all of a sudden looks like, I don't know, pick Mark Sanchez and just totally forgets how to play football, you probably wouldn't see a Justin Fields or a Zach Wilson until the final month of the season. So tell me where this team goes from 4 wins to 10 wins. I don't see it happening. 404-741-0929. Dylan Matthews, do you see a quick turnaround for the Falcons? Do you see 10 wins? Do you see Matt Ryan as a top 15 guy?
I do see a quick turnaround for the Falcons, actually.
Look at you.
I think they can do this. I think a lot of the problems for the Falcons this year, honestly, was coaching. Some of it was on the play. Some of it was on execution. I get that. I think that'll be fixed up also in the offseason, can be fixed up with some player turnaround and also some better coaching. The Dallas thing, I know the players should know the rules and should know to jump on it, but you gotta as a coach, you gotta get your guys in the huddle and say, hey, literally, all you have to do is jump on the football. It doesn't have to go 10 yards. I mean, that's it. That, to me, I put that more on coaching. A lot of these games, I put on coaching. Badly coached, poor time management, things of that nature. So I think with a better coached team, and then also, this Falcon offense looked good at times. I think if we get a more – I'm not going to put everything on Dirk Koetter. You know, he was kind of handcuffed with Gurley and things of that nature. So I'm not going to put absolutely everything on Dirk Koetter. But to be honest, if we're keeping it a buck on this show – if we have a more competent play caller, I think our offense looks a whole lot better. Just to be honest, I think if we get the right guy for Matt Ryan, because I do agree, Matt Ryan is a system quarterback. He's a very, very, very good system quarterback,
at
though.
At this point in his career,
yes. He used to not be. But at this point, he's a very good system quarterback who has a little improvisation left in him. I mean, we saw the whole thing. I think, who was that against the Vikings when he had that little play with Hayden Hurst? Mm-hmm. You know, he has a little something left. So with all that being said, I think Matt Ryan is still a top 15 guy. I wouldn't put him in top 10, but I'll put him in top 15. So I think we can. I think we can easily be a 10-6 team next year. I think we just have to find the right coaching, the right GM, someone who can draft a little bit better than what Thomas Dimitroff and Dan Quinn drafted in the past couple years. And I think we'll be okay.
All right, Falcons fans, what do you guys think? 404-741-0929, the number 404-741-0929. But again, there's a lot of ifs. If the Falcons get the right GM, if the Falcons get the right head coach, if the Falcons make the right move at 4, if the Falcons find a way to close out all these games, where they have a 99% chance of winning with 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. There are a lot of things. At times, it feels like, man, we're so close. Can we just get over the hump? But when it continues to manifest and repeat itself, it's like you feel like you're a lifetime away. I think when you need four or five ifs to go your way, I think the odds are stacked against you. I'm hopeful. I think the right guys are out there. It's just a matter of this organization identifying them and doing what it takes to get them. 404-741-0929. You can also hit me up on Twitter at Nick Kale, K-A-Y-A-L. We'll get to your Falcons calls on the other side. If you've guys got thoughts on the NFL playoffs, we can get some of those in as well. And we will get to the Hawks because, look, 4-1. Everybody said, oh, my God, look at the Hawks. Nick Kale, are you willing to walk off of your 35-37 prediction and your first-round exit? The Hawks, they're going to win a first-round series. I believe Dylan echoed that last week. Willie P, oh, we're going to beat the Bucks and the Celtics. Oh, yeah, all right. All right. All of a sudden, 4-4, choking away 15-point leads like you're the Falcons. So what do we make of the Hawks at 4-4? And do they snap the skid tonight? We'll get into that next here on the Nick Kale Show. We're back after this. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back with more Nick Kale Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sean Tate coming up in 20 minutes as we'll get you set for the Hawks and the Hornets here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. But right now, your Falcons calls, 404-741-0929. And we spent the last segment talking about Ross Tucker's comments on Dukes and Bell earlier this week, where he said that he thinks Matt Ryan is still a top 15 guy. And if you're a top 15 quarterback, you can turn it around and win 10 games the following year. I'm not so sure I buy that, but let's get to your phone calls, 404-741-0929. Social Circle we go. Burgess is up next on the Nick Kale Show. What's up, Burgess?
Hey, what's going on, man?
What's happening, bro?
Nothing much. I love listening to the show, first off.
Thank you.
And I definitely think Matt Ryan can come back next year.
Okay. And why do you think that?
You know, it's just his last 2 years, last 3 years in the league. I think he wants to go out with a bang. He's been good since 2008. I've always followed the Falcons. So I think he's got two more good years left in him, and I think the Falcons should draft probably Najee Harris to help us out, or either trade down and draft two more. But I think the Falcons have a shot next year making playoffs for sure, man.
All right, Burgess, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. I would say this. I think trading down is a good idea if, for whatever reason, they don't believe Justin Fields or Zach Wilson is worthy of the fourth pick. But taking Najee Harris at four, as great of a running back as Najee is, would be a mistake. You can't take him that high because you have no offensive line. But in regards to Matt Ryan, well, I think Matt Ryan can have a really good year next year because he wants to go out with a bang. I wish it was as simple as that. I really do. I would love to accomplish a lot of things in my life because, you know, I want to go out with a bang. Like, you know, I want to be rich. It doesn't mean I'm going to win the lottery tomorrow. Like there's obviously more than that. And then also, I would say this. You know, you take a look at the landscape of the NFC. Seahawks, Rams, Cardinals, really the NFC West is pretty loaded. I mean, the Niners were 6-10, and they were decimated. Saints aren't going anywhere. Presumably Tom Brady's back next year. I think the Bucs will once again be an 11-win type team, probably even a little bit better chemistry-wise with a full offseason. You look at the Packers. I mean, the NFC, I don't think it's as deep as the AFC, so you've got that working for you. If you are a Falcons optimist that believes 10 wins is very doable next year. But again, as I mentioned going into the last break, you need a lot of ifs to come to fruition. It's not like we're just one thing away. We just need one thing. No, we need like four things. We need like five things. And I just think the odds of all of that happening next year are not likely. Look, you could get the right GM, the right head coach, Justin Fields, and a few other quality players with picks 2 through 6. I don't know that it results in 10 wins in 2021. 2022, 2023. All right. You get some cap relief. You accumulate more picks. More of these picks come to fruition. Sure. 404-741-0929. Nelson in McDonough is up next. What's up, Nelson?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, bro.
Hey, man. I'm listening to your show, man. I enjoy it. I just want to say I really think that the Falcons have an opportunity to turn this thing around. And I believe that because I think our owner, Arthur Blank, really wants to turn it around quickly. And then I'm looking at, you know, the prediction of the draft picks. A lot of the draft picks say we need to get, you know, defensive end, cornerback. We need a lot, like you said. But I think that if you look at all the games the Falcons were in this year, they were close. They were competitive. And if they get a chance to kind of get a few things, tweak some things on offense, get the offensive line together, tweak some things on defense, get some really good coaching in, I do think they have an opportunity to go 10, 11 wins at minimum for next year.
Do you think these games this year that were close, do you think this is because this is a good Falcons team with talent that just underachieves and finds ways to choke? Or do you think this is a lesser talented team that maybe actually reaches its peak but only goes so far?
I think it's a good talented team where the ball just didn't bounce their way this year.
Okay.
And that's the way things go in the NFL. Sometimes the ball doesn't bounce your way.
That's
the thing is, it'll bounce your way if you prepare enough to the point where there are no mistakes and you execute in the first, second, and third quarter. And so that's the thing that I think is going to have to change in the coaching room to make sure that they're executing first, second, and third quarter. So if you don't execute the fourth quarter, hey, it's not a blown lead. It's okay.
All right, Nelson, I appreciate the call. Thank you for checking in. 404-741-0929. I do, well, as the Rams just picked off Russell Wilson, pick six, L.A., now up 12-3 midway through the second. That was not Jalen Ramsey. Darius Williams. Oh, man. L.A. might have pulled the upset here. But as I was saying, like, I do agree a few bounces go your way, things change. When I was doing mornings in Nashville, the afternoon host was the former Titans GM Floyd Reese, who drafted Steve McNair, Eddie George, Derek Mason, and that crew, Javon Kearse. And he said, look, in this league, you're a few breaks and a few bounces of the ball away from 6-10 to 10-6, 8-8 to 10-6. But I just don't know that the Falcons were a few breaks away from 4-12 to 11-5. That is a big jump. Like I said a couple of minutes ago, you know, a few of those wild endings that they should have won goes their way. Well, they go from 4-12 to 7-9, 8-8. I don't think they are that close that where these breaks go the other way, they're a 10-11 win team. I think there's a difference between 7-9 and 8-8 and 10-6, 11-5, obviously with the math and the basic numbers of wins and four or five more, but it feels like there's another gap missing is what I would say. Lee in Cartersville next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What's up, Lee? All right, Lee dropped. Let's go to G Money in Riverdale. What's up, G Money?
Hey, what's happening, buddy, big boy?
I'm good. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, man. Hey, man, I've been trying to call in, man, for the last 6-7 months, man, and I want to weigh in on that Falcons situation.
Yep.
And what I think, man, I've been saying for the last 2 years, the Falcons need to draft a backup quarterback to Matt Ryan, because the thing is that you have a lot of people that like Matt Ryan and who don't like Matt Ryan. So with that number four pick, I would get Justin Fields, because if you look at the defensive side of the ball, they can't stop nobody. You only got A.J. Terrell back there. He's doing what he got to do. You're going to lose Keanu O'Neal, and ain't no telling who else you're going to leave lose on the defensive side of the ball. But I would get Justin Fields at number four and get you a running back with that top pick in the second round, and then they'll be all right. They'll be all right. But you got to get you a quarterback at that number four pick.
You are preaching to the choir, G-Money. I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. I said to start this show probably about an hour ago that I fear if they pass on Justin Fields at four, it'll come back to haunt them. I think he's that good. I think he's an instant rock star in this league. He's got the ability to be slightly less than a Russell Wilson, which I think every Falcons fan would sign up for. I think Russ is a top five quarterback. I think Justin Fields could easily be a top 10 quarterback in this league in his first couple of years. Maybe not right away, but by year three, year four, Justin Fields, I think, is a top 10 quarterback in the league. But I'm not on board going running back in round two. I would probably try to work on my defensive line, my offensive line. I can get a running back with a good quarterback and a good O-line. I can find a running back in round three, round four, round five. You know, the Rams grabbed Cam Akers, I believe, in the third round. You can find backs in the middle of the draft. Get me a quarterback, round one, pick four. And then in the second round, best available offensive or defensive line, whether that's pass rusher, guard, center, whatever it might be, tackle. I think so many people get caught up in quarterback and then running back, and we certainly know they don't need receivers. But guys, when you're 4-12 and you're hitting the reset button, I mean, you got to build from the inside out. You've got to be tough and stout up the middle on both sides. 404-741-0929. Let's go to Adam, who's next. Adam, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Okay, man, what's up?
What up?
Hey, I've been listening at the show for quite some while. You know, they always say the football league is a copycat world.
Yep.
And the Falcons is similar to the same situation that the Green Bay Packers was in several years ago. They went to the Super Bowl, and they kept going to the playoff and kept getting bounced out. So they draft a quarterback behind Aaron Rodgers. And I kind of think the Falcons are similar to that same situation with Matt Ryan. So why not draft a young quarterback and let him sit behind Matt? You know, that would probably pan out to be the best move that Atlanta can do.
I actually think that's a fair point and a fair comparison, and you can actually make the case, obviously, that Aaron Rodgers is still playing at a much higher level, and I don't even know that the Packers needed to go quarterback. And what's interesting about the Packers is I don't think Green Bay is overly talented. I mean, they don't spend in free agency. They do it through the draft. They let players walk when they're free agents. So there is some comparison that you made I think is actually somewhat spot on.
Yeah, because, you know, Atlanta team just is more talented than Green Bay team. You know, Atlanta got a lot of athletes. I think it's just the coaching staff not putting certain players in certain situations, you know. Atlanta's a really pretty good team. They just had a lot of bad breaks this year. But, you know, Julio Jones been hurt, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's not
Atlanta
a bad point.
Go, you know, I think Atlanta should go down that road like Green Bay did, you know. All just right. Play the year out and try to draft a good quarterback, young quarterback, and let him sit behind Matt and learn. That would be
you,
your future quarterback.
All right, appreciate the call, 404-741-0929. You think about it, Rodgers and Ryan, both good quarterbacks. Obviously, Rodgers is a better quarterback, but for the sake of comparison, both teams have a quarterback. They both have a receiver, whether it's Adams, Julio, Ridley. But after that, the changes are Green Bay's got a better offensive line. They've got a more established running back in Aaron Jones. And their pass rushers are much better, Preston and Za'Darius Smith. But, I mean, I do see some similarities, for sure. All right, appreciate all the Falcons calls. If we didn't get to you, I'm sorry. We're out of time. Appreciate you checking in. We'll try to get you in later in the show if you want to jump back on. But up next, we got to transition to a little hoops for the final 30 minutes. The Hawks back in action tonight. Deshaun Tate coming up next here on The Nick Kale Show.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.